there's a myth that goes along with Michael Jordan that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and LeBron is on equal footing in my mind with the great 23.
Definitely a Browns fan till the end, kind of like a rite of passage when you're born in Cleveland. You just can't let that go. You all get hope for the Browns.
Hey, why do you think Arnold took Columbus to hold the Arnold? That's the second largest sporting event in the world. Me and I always kid, we were born and raised in Ohio, and this is where we raised our families. Ohio is such a hotbed in the NPC.
Now I'm back in Cincinnati, so I'm the pulse, the heartbeat for Bengals fans.
With the OSU Buckeyes right smack in the middle of Columbus, you know, during football season, it's hard not to be a fan. The whole city shuts down on Saturdays.
Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins!
I love boxing. I love wrestling. Put them both together and then other martial arts, you know, the jiu-jitsu added in the kickboxing. It just, the grind, I like the grind. And I just like challenging myself. Fighting is the most primal thing that we have.
The outpouring of love from Mark Coleman has been great.
Finally, Ohio is united in hockey. It's always a tough sell with the Avalanche being the farm team for the Cleveland organization.
I love listening to With an Ohio Bias podcast, and as always, go Jackets.
Blue Jackets hockey is something exciting and something that people want to get behind. I really couldn't even put into words the way people have taken to the fifth line.
The news stories of athletes committing violence against women is just too much.
If Pete Rose was a better gambler, he wouldn't have been in all this problem.
I love the name of the show, With an Ohio Bias.
Do it. I mean, 0-16 is pretty unacceptable when you've been drafting in the beginning of the, you know, for the last 5 years at the front of the draft. You know, hey, whatever. To each their own. It's kind of like it'll be like the Cleveland Browns fans' version of Standing Rock. You know, they can have a parade in 20-degree weather protesting how bad our pipeline from the draft is.
You know I'm picking the Buckeyes. I've been saying all the things you just said all year long. You know, people think Alabama's the best team in the country. We're going to find out.
Mariota just flings that one down the left side of the field. Intercepted by Eli Apple at the 25. And Apple will go to the ground at the 32, and that's it. Ohio State national champions for the 8th time. Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Brings up. It's good. Kyrie Irving from downtown. And the Cavaliers by 3. Love picks up Curry. Curry steps back, fakes a 3, drives again, it's up a 3. Rebound James with 30 seconds remaining.
What a spectacular job by Love. Trying to stay with Curry, catches one dribble, steps back, puts up a 3. Won't go, rebound tip taken by Spades, final seconds. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. I am D, Cleveland born and raised, Buckeye born and bred.
And I'm Jake from Youngstown to CBUS.
The Ohio State women's basketball program, I got to give them their props. They share the Big Ten title. They get the double bye going into the Big Ten tournament. You got to be proud of the job that Kevin McGuff has done with the Lady Buckeyes.
I agree. Just being here in Columbus, Ohio, the Lady Bucks are doing their thing. They're starting to recruit better. That was something that, you know, just because you're Ohio State doesn't mean you don't have to recruit. They're recruiting a whole lot better on the women's side, and I appreciate that. There's a lot of basketball talent in the state of Ohio, and they're starting to pull those girls back into the race. So I'm a former assistant athletic director, and I have two state girls rings from my time at Harvest Prep. And I've seen a lot of girls basketball, and at one point a few years ago, I was wondering, what's going to happen with the state of Ohio when it comes to girls basketball? Because a lot of girls were going out of state to play for other programs and not staying in the state. So kudos to the new coach. I'm glad he's here, you know, a couple years now, and, you know, he's doing his thing. Appreciate that. No doubt about it. It's in Ohio.
And congratulations to Kelsey Mitchell, who's the Big Ten Player of the Year. You talk about those out-of-state, Torrey McCoy, Big Ten All-Freshman Team. Lene Harper, who is the Big Ten Six Woman Player of the Year, I guess would be that award, but the Sixth Person of the Year.
And yeah, they call it, yeah.
Sixth Woman of the Year?
It just doesn't roll off the tongue right, you know.
The sixth
human off the bench. Yeah, sixth person off the year. There you go.
And then,
we are the fifth person, hashtag. We are the fifth person.
Sierra Calhoun, who got honorable mention, all Big Ten team. Shayla Cooper, who, you know, 1,000 points in her career at Ohio State and has just been a stalwart down low. And then we're happy to see that Stephanie Mavunga is getting healthy, even though the Buckeyes were able to beat Maryland without her. They're going to need her going through the tournament. And she made the second team All-Big Ten. Of course, Kelsey Mitchell, Big Ten All-Fresh Team. So, I mean, when you got that many on your roster, you talked about that. Kevin McGuff is doing something right with this Big Ten women's basketball team.
Coach McGuff is definitely landing some of the recruits that he's looking to land and not losing them out to some other programs. But, yeah, it's great. And it's the Buckeyes, and I want to win the Big Ten and beat everybody down that we can. But it does kind of stink in women's basketball that you're always playing for second place. You know, it's like you don't have a shot at the end of the day. And it's like, okay, let's win the Big Ten tournament. But and get it as far as we can before we run into Connecticut.
Yeah, basically the juggernaut of juggernauts. Like I think people overlook that there is a Connecticut as good as they are. I mean, obviously a team with no flaws. You've got to basically play for second, and you're absolutely right. At this point, the NCAA tournament is Connecticut and whoever finishes behind them. So. I really do hope the Lady Buckeyes do a good run. We need that in a sports town like we are, a sports state, honestly. Columbus having two teams in the playoffs, we'll take it.
I mean, you know, we got Matt Pfeffer on. We know about the CBJ artillery and the fifth line, and we know, Jake, you're a big fan of you know, what the Team USA did. I believe in miracles. So I believe there can be a miracle that happens. This Buckeye women's team can pull off a miracle. And I'm hoping 3-1 day, you know, the Cavs came back from a 3-1 deficit. Anything is possible, but I will not put my money on the Buckeyes beating UConn. But if they get there, you know, I'll be supporting them. So excited about that. We talk about gratitude in show 128. One guy that should be thankful he's still employed is Thad Matta with the Ohio State men's team. And you think about the win they had over Wisconsin and then also getting the one-point win over Penn State. Matt Trabol was on our show, Jake, and Matt, this was the guy from City of Brotherly Love .com. He told us that Matta will be getting the best out of Buckeyes down the road. I still feel like Matta, this will be a swan song, and it'll be a great finish if they can make a little noise. They got a big game coming up against the Hoosiers, and they got to keep marching to their Big Ten tournament. But it's been a disappointing season, and I'm still in the camp where I think this should be Thad Mata's last year.
For me, he kind of brought me over to his side, honestly. When you talk about the loss of Kata Bates Diop, you got a young team who's going to start developing here. And you're really not losing anybody except for, I think, Mark Loving. And, you know, I think that he's built enough equity winning Big Ten titles, going to a Final Four, being as tenured as he is, that, you know, you give him a year with a young team and see what he can do. And if he gets back into Big Ten championship contention, I think his job's safe another year. And if he doesn't, then you know the answer is that we need to reenergize this program and move on from Thad Matta.
There's some coaching candidates out there that have some Ohio ties. I mean, from my perspective, they could come back in and take over this team and do it the right way. You don't always have to make a big splash sometimes with basketball to get a good coach. It's nice. It's great. But there's some really good basketball coaches out there on the NCAA level and some good, really, really good assistants. So, I don't want to give Thad Matta his walking papers. I mean, obviously, I want to see what he does in the Big Ten tournament. You know, we got a lot of local guys in there, young guys that, you know, probably still need to mature a little bit. They're just not there yet. I think they've had enough time, though, to mature at this point of the season. So all you can do is just kind of hope that the Buckeyes can pull out something and then see if the athletic department has enough confidence in Thad Matta to right the ship for next year.
You know, what sucks is we talk about recruiting. He's failed Ohio State in his recruiting. He's failed Ohio State in the development of some of these players. And that was all before Kata Bates Diop and some of these other injuries happened. We're seeing, you know, these guys play with all their heart. He's finally moved Jaquan Lyle to the bench, put Jackson in. But these are moves that could have been made early on in the season when we had that powder puff schedule, which was another problem that I have, where the Buckeyes don't test themselves in non-conference play. and they refuse to, you know, make adjustments then. So that's my biggest qualms with that, Mata. And then also, too, you got guys on the bench that aren't seeing time where you got other freshman kids coming in struggling. So he's mismanaged the talent that he's got. He's failed to recruit more talent that, you know, within the state of Ohio that's been going elsewhere. And to me, you know, if you even go back to some of those seasons when they were winning, it's because of the way that the times were scheduled. And those teams, you know, came up very, very short in big, if it was Big Ten tournament play or in March Madness, because of the lack of being able to coach in game and make adjustments. So I think that Mata has failed from a tactician level and also, too, from building a program level. And we're seeing the dividends in that. And I can't just sit by and idly watch it without saying something. And I'm glad we have a podcast so I can do so. So that's why I'm so thankful.
I'm more of the half-glass full guy, so I'm just kind of like, okay, obviously, you know, to keep him this long, the guy sees something in him. So let's hope he puts it together and maybe get some good, decent recruits here this upcoming March. So
a lot of the recruits that are going elsewhere, especially like the Canards and such, you know, Ohio State's still a football school. And you're losing out to programs that I think are just better pedigree programs that can get you where you want to go ultimately a little quicker than they can at Ohio State. And I just feel like that he's done enough here so far to at least give him the benefit of the doubt to see if he can do it. I mean, it took Jim Boeheim how many years to win an NCAA tournament? And, you know, he's going to go down as one of the greatest coaches of all time.
That's Syracuse and that's East New York. You know, I mean, that's not Columbus, Ohio, in the middle of one of the biggest talent-rich states of basketball history ever. And my two arguments to that, you know, either they're a football school with all the resources that that football program generates, being one of the strongest in the nation that can trickle down to help the basketball team, or we're such a school with the rich history of basketball when you think about the names that have come through Ohio State and that have continued to, and we're lucky. Thank you. Shout out to Michael Redd, who follows us on Twitter at With an Ohio Bias. You know, even him, who had a great career, you know, there's too much talent in this state to not be able to garner better results from a basketball team. And that's my flat out. I just can't get over that. And, you know, hey, I'm not saying what Thad Mata hasn't done for the program hasn't been great. He's built a foundation, but it's time to elevate that and take it to the next level. And I don't think he's the guy for the job.
I think you have a point. One of the things I think that a lot of kids have to look at, and this is what a lot of kids look at, because I've seen the AAU circuit. I've seen what it does to kids. They're looking at the NBA factor. They're looking at the one-and-done factor. Can that guy get me to the next level of the NBA? And if you've seen all the kids that have come through the Ohio State program recently, and, you know, no knock to anybody that's ever played at Ohio State, but they really haven't put out any talent NBA-wise. I think Mike Connolly might be your best bet. And, you know, I don't want to dog the program at all, but, like, you know, your Sullingers, who have moved, you know, almost three teams in the last year now. You know, I love Jared Sullinger. I know his dad. He's a great guy. But, you know, he's possibly going back to Boston. Your Greg Odins, who, my God, I see him at the arena half the time because he lives right next to the arena. You know, that's a guy that should be playing in the NBA right now. He should be one of the best centers that ever played the NBA, but because of injuries, not there. Your Evan Turners, who are, like, you would consider a journeyman at this point because he's playing for the Trailblazers. There's just so many factors from the Ohio State program that don't play into favoring bringing extra talent or extra special kids into Columbus, Ohio. And that has a lot to do with your staff, your coaching, and also your awareness of the basketball program.
I agree totally. I mean, you think maybe D'Angelo Russell, but with Magic Johnson taking over there, his future is in danger too. So even the, you know, big time, high profile one and dones that, you know, Thad Mata has gotten, you think about all the other guys that could have been developed. I mean, we know David Leidy, and you think John Diebler, they're having great careers over in Europe, but you know, as far as when you are trying to sell that program and you're not doing it with, you know, strippers and stuff like that in dorm rooms like some places in Kentucky, you know, maybe go to build the program with seniors and things like that, maybe do it a Wichita State way and whatnot. I'm not saying that I have those answers. I'm saying that I haven't seen them from Thad Matta, and that's my problem with it. So, once again, I root for the Buckeyes. I think Scarlet and Gray, I think that program, and it's just too much resources there for that, for this to be the result that we're getting from there. There's no – the football school to me, and I'm not, you know, trying to attack you directly, Jay, but it's just a little bit of a crutch where basketball team has the resources that football team has. How can we not get at least get a better result just by the fact that these guys should come out there looking like they're ready to go to war, you know, like physically?
Well,
you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, but that's the thing that just boggles my mind.
This program's rich in history, no doubt. But, the bottom line is, to me, it's you're recruiting kids, and there aren't programs out – there aren't schools out there that are great at both things, that are long-sustained things. You know, maybe the Texas is the world, maybe UCLA to an extent, that you can think of as both football and basketball. When you say Ohio State, what do you think of? You think of football, and you're trying to sell basketball kids on a football school. And that's what I think ultimately really hurts a lot of recruiting at Ohio State. And there just has not – we're never going to be that perennial power year after year after year like a Duke or a Kansas because of that fact. And, you're going to get coaches in here who are going to make runs, and every one of them do, whether it's O'Brien, whether it's Randy Ayers, whether it's Thad Matta, and whether it's going to be Greg Marshall or Archie Miller down in Dayton. They're going to make runs for a while, but ultimately it's going to end up the same story, and I've seen it over and over.
Well, see, that's where I think they can change the narrative now, though. They have the resources. This thing has been built up over time. The brand is there for the name of it. And I'm not looking to be, Duke and find the next Coach K. I want to be a competitive basketball team, and I just want to enjoy it when I watch it. I enjoy watching the Ohio State women's team. You know, what I see is inconsistent effort when I watch the men's team, and it puts me in, like, we're hardcore sports fans, and I'll end it on this. As hardcore sports fans, when your team loses and it's because of effort and it's because of they don't have the right, flow as a basketball team or the right scheme and their coach is not putting them in a good position to win, that's disheartening and it ruins my whole week. And, people at work are asking me a question. I'm mad about Ohio State basketball, but I'm biting people's heads off. You know what I mean? So, I think there's a lot of Buckeye fans out there like me who I'm worried about the mental health for all the Buckeye Nation. So maybe I'm just a little too – my heart's too big. You know what I mean? So, yeah. We're happy to have Matt join us for this part of the podcast. But, Jake, no, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm not looking to be a juggernaut. I don't want them to, become, the Wizard of – I don't want them to find the next Wizard of Westwood and build the greatest dynasty in college basketball. I just want competitive basketball. Maybe we're spoiled, and it sounds like that. Maybe that's where my tone comes, because we're coming off of talking about the Cavs, and they're basically the standard bearer being the NBA champions, and it looks like they're going back-to-back. I'm not asking for that when it comes to Ohio State basketball. I just want a competitive team that looks like they know what they're doing, and I know they're kids, and, you have to form that over time, but that's part of the journey that I enjoy. But this journey for these last couple of seasons has not been enjoyable.
You know who could help this basketball program a whole hell of a lot more than he already does? And he does help, believe me. I think that's a big deal. But I think LeBron James could, as maybe even when he moves away from basketball, could be a figure that could really help land a lot of recruits in years to come if he cares about Ohio State the way he says.
That's a great point. And I mean, he always has a great influence. And, I'll tell you this, I'm seeing guys on a football team dunking out the gym like it's going out of business today. And you saw LeBron James donated some great gear for the football team. So he does do a lot. But yeah, I mean, maybe when, all is said and done, he has his 10 championships, probably, 7 more with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he can put more hands around the Ohio State basketball program.
We can only dream.
It was a quick one. We're so thankful Matt Pfeffer, jumped on to talk hoops.
Appreciate your time, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thankful for the support. We're moving to iTunes. We've been getting a tremendous, tremendous response from that. And we even haven't made a big rollout. So you'll see that with, as you're listening to this podcast, you'll see us raising the profile with an Ohio Bias. All right, Jake, give us the plugs and let us know what's going on, what you got coming on the Score on Air.
Yeah, a couple updates. We are going down to one day a week, so you can catch With an Ohio Bias live every Thursday, 4 to 6. Aaron and myself will be on it as I start doing a little bit more work for the EB Sports Network.
You can check out the latest edition of Overtime with Marty Bannister, without Marty Bannister, because I got to host it, and had John Gibson on the show, a color analyst for the Bowling Green Falcons. He also played under Urban Meyer when he was starting out his head coaching career at Bowling Green. So he had some unique perspectives on Coach Meyer. So check that out. That's on the EB Sports Network. We'll be doing some more stuff there. And also scoreonair.com every Thursday, 4 to 6, with an Ohio Bias Live. And, yeah, that's about it right now.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate every tweet, every favorite, every like and share, any and each comment that people leave for us. Anyone who listens to this podcast, please share, like, and follow, email, tweet us. At With an Ohio Bias. If you got to send us a pigeon, Mike Tyson style, to share your thoughts, we'll receive it and we'll definitely respond to you. Agree, disagree. Hey, this is the discussion of our teams and it fuels our passion. The discussion of our teams is our passion and it fuels our fandom. You know, we say a salute to the medical professionals, doctors, nurses, caregivers, anyone who eases the pain of those in pain. We say a special thank you to all the teachers, policemen, firemen, and first responders, and our thoughts and prayers, of course, with the troops that are in service, and we appreciate the continued service of the veterans who have returned. We say a special prayer to those that might be missing in action and those that we have lost. This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake.